New Horizon has been serving the church in Northern Ireland since 1989, and we're delighted to bring you this talk today. We trust you will be blessed through this ministry.
I thank God for this privilege of being together with you. And I really thank God for the morning sessions that our brother Tony has been helping us to draw our hearts, our minds together, just to come to God, to come to God as we are. And one of the things that I have learned in walking with God is that He does ask you to come to Him as you are, but by the time He sets you out, you will never be the same. If you doubt it, ask my mother. I'm glad she's dead. Because she would have told you so many stories. So many. Sometimes I feel embarrassed when I finish preaching in some congregations, and some woman will just come and say, "Are you Benji, the son of Elsie?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, we've been praying for you. Your mother told us you were lost." Mothers are funny people. I'll take my stand, says Habakkuk, at my watch post. The picture of a prophet as a watchman is familiar throughout the Old Testament, and particularly Isaiah gives us a lot about this position where we are expected to watch. I'd like to take us through this passage in three sections. First of all, because of Habakkuk's experience, we are asked, each one of us, to take a stand and watch. And not just watch, but also to take a stand and listen. But thirdly, to take a stand and not be neutral. There's no neutrality with God. There are no gray areas in God's decisions. And tonight I'd like to invite us all to take a stand. It's important to do that because if you do not take a stand, the angels in heaven will not know who you are. Take a stand. Watch. The watchman has a huge responsibility. It is the watchman who warns of danger, of unexpected arrivals of the enemy, and sometimes of good news too. If the watchman fails, the fault is his. If he gives a warning and the people refuse to hear, then the fault is theirs. Ezekiel said so. Son of man, Ezekiel says, God says, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give it, give them a warning from me. I believe in the last 2 days, our brother Tony has been serving as a watchman, giving us a warning. And I pray that those of you who are unable to come in the mornings, you'll get the tapes or read the scripts and see what the Lord is saying to each one of us as individuals, as families, as communities, as churches, and as Christians in a nation. To watch, however, is not only the task of the official or employed or the watchman. Every believer is called to watch. Habakkuk in 2:1 is not watching for the approach of human enemies. The enemies are already there. They are already here. He is watching, but he is also listening to hear from God and to know how God will answer his complaints. Because the enemies are too many. They're all around. They're on the internet. They're on media, social web. They're on the newspapers. Every day, there's not a good news at all. If you are watching at all, you will know that we need God now more than ever before. No matter how long Habakkuk will wait, he will continue to watch. That is the task of all believers. That as we read the newspapers, we hear from the social media and televisions, we are to stick to God and watch. This is the task of all believers. Psalm 5 verse 3, the psalmist said, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Where I live, we have to wake up at 4 a.m. Whether we like it or not. Because at 4 a.m., our Muslim brothers through the minaret will blow a call for prayer. And I'm so used to it that 4 a.m. anywhere in the world, anytime I am, no matter how short the sleep is, I'll wake up. Because if those we want to evangelize, we want them to know the Lord, are calling for prayers, why should I be sleeping? Now, I usually would wake up at 4 a.m. and do my personal devotions and prayers for the children, for everybody else. And at 6 a.m. I wake the children, because 6 a.m. is our morning prayer for the whole family. I was to discover that my grandfather did the same. And you have to watch. Because the difficulties that are coming upon us, and might I say the difficulties that I have had to go through as a young priest from 1987, has not given me an opportunity to sleep. I've been crying to God daily, annually, monthly, all the time I hear a gunshot. I know some Christian has been killed. I've been waiting and watching for the day these killings will stop in northern Nigeria. They've refused to stop till date. Only 2 days ago, a few kilometers away from Jos, 17 people were killed. It's a daily thing. But each Christian, as we hear these things and as we've heard from the Open Doors, the more we should exercise faith in God and not give up. Because the alternative, there's none. There's none. There's none. If we turn away from God, where shall we go? He alone has the answers. Our salvation is in Him alone. Our eternity shall be with Him alone. So we must take a stand. We must take a stand to love and not hate. We must take a stand for truth and righteousness and justice. Jesus has always begged His disciples to take a stand and watch in Gethsemane. He said to them, my soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and watch with me. When he came back just an hour, he said, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. They fell asleep within just an hour. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Followers of Jesus are always to watch, because no one knows the hour, nor the time, nor the day. And Jesus told his disciples that as well as watching for his return, they must also watch their own lives, making sure that they are living in accordance with his word. And friends, we must watch our families too. We must watch our children. We must watch everything around us. I remember one night, the period at which children begin to show you who they really are. And as a matter of fact, I told Gloria, I prayed that, please, God, don't give me any baby boy. Because I was afraid that if there was a baby boy and has my chemistry, he might do to me what I did to my father. And I don't think I have the capacity to stand that. I just wanted girls. Because girls are wonderful. They will look after me. I don't know what boys are doing, but they're just horrible. And we did pray. And I named all the five girls. Then the first one was a girl. And I told the church, Gloria had had a baby. Then everybody knows the names of the five girls. They called. The second one, I forgot to pray. We had a boy. And the third one, we had another boy. Then I remembered, Lord, have mercy on me. We ended up with four boys and two girls. And at that age, everything from 11 to 14, each one of these children, we were having issues. So I was giving them a close marking. I'm a Liverpool fan. So if you let your child become like Mo Salah, you can't catch him anymore. So you've got to pursue them. Close marking, real close, watching these boys. And the more I watched, the more terrible they became. And one day I said, Lord, I just can't do anything. And I kept praying and fasting. One of the nights in the cold season of Jos, where we get up to 2 degrees at night, I was sweating as I was crying to God. I'd gone to their rooms, and you'd find socks somewhere, shoes, this. I mean, it just boys are just something else. You'd see things you don't want to see. And I cried. I was crying. I was praying. I said, Lord, help me. I want this child to be a believer. God, save these children. Lord, save them. And I came back to my room, rolling on the floor. Gloria got up, 2 a.m., was going to the bathroom. And she saw me on the floor. She went in, came out, and she said, Ben, what's it? I said, nothing. I'm okay. She said, is it our children? I looked at her. She saw me, tears in my eyes. She said, yes. She said, sit down. And I sat down. She said, Ben, you're a huge sinner, a mighty big sinner saved by grace. And I'm also a sinner saved by grace. Would we have angels for children? I was immediately relieved. And I said, Lord, have your way. But we need to watch our children. Because there are many people I discovered in Jos and throughout my ministry. Mothers are the ones always crying about their lost sons and daughters, crying about their grandchildren, crying about that. I'm a living testimony of prayers of my grandmother and mother and all the women who prayed for me. Jesus answered their prayers and I got saved. We must watch. And there are people carrying hurts and pains about husbands and wives. But prayers, I want to say again, God answers prayers. We have nowhere else to turn to. If God didn't answer prayers, we wouldn't even bother asking. But he does. He answers prayers. Watch and pray. That is what Habakkuk does. He's a watchman who's praying. And he's watching the events internationally. He's watching the events nationally. And he's watching the events locally. And he's watching the events among believers. He has no answer. Only God has the answer. Nobody can answer him. And he turns to God. That's the place to turn to. Whenever you watch and you have no answers, turn to the Lord. Habakkuk chooses to watch and he sees what is happening. And he seeks to understand what is happening. But he seeks to understand it in his closet. Because he's talking to God Almighty. He waits there until God answers him. It's a little over 40 years since I watched the first slaughter and the burning of churches and the destruction of all Christian properties as a young priest. It hasn't stopped, but I've not stopped praying, and we shouldn't. But secondly, Habakkuk says, I'll take my stand and listen. Verse 2. Then the Lord replied as he was listening. The Lord replied to Habakkuk. The Lord says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald might run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. God will always respond to our cries. There's so many testimonies in Scripture of those who have cried to the Lord. Hannah wept before the Lord for a child. Joshua cried to the Lord. The sun stood still. All the time people have prayed, God has answered. Abraham begged God to not destroy the whole of Gomorrah. God answers prayers. In the last few years, I have found out, as I waited on the Lord, that God has his own plans. He's sovereign, and he will always do what is good for his children. He's a good God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. He's sovereign. So while I was asking God to beg him to take away this evil, and the more we prayed, the more the evil increased, the killings increased. There was a time in Jos, in a village just about 5 miles away from Bukuru, less than 2 miles away from Bukuru, over 500 people were slaughtered in one night. The Catholic bishop and myself visited the people that were left behind, and we had a mass funeral of over 500 people. People cried. People cried until they couldn't cry anymore. They wept until the tears dried up. And we told them to forgive. From that time on till date, I've stopped praying for the Lord to stop it. I've simply now turned to say, Lord, revive us. Send down revival. But in this, we see that the prophet is so confident about God and is so confident that God knows the end of evil. Evil will not last forever. God has the final say. May not be in our human timing, but evil will not last forever. God said to Habakkuk, just wait. One day you will see the end of all of this. Just wait. But while you are walking,
While you are waiting, you go on walking for righteousness. And friends, tonight, we've heard this again and again. Let me remind us. Our human righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. That's a polite way of saying it. We cannot on our own walk righteousness. The language around the world now is to say, oh, he's a good person. He's a wonderful person. Before God, no human being is righteous. Not one. Not one. We can measure ourselves and compete. I am better than that other person. I'm not a drunkard. I am better than that other person. I'm not running after women and all of that. But even if you don't do any of those things, God knows your heart and mine. You can't hide anything from God. We cannot walk our own righteousness and walk our own salvation. We cannot. We have to depend on the righteousness of God as he gives his son Jesus, who paid the price for our sins on the cross. He literally took my iniquity, my evil thoughts. He took them all away. And he took them one day when I made a decision in Lagos to say, I believe and I surrender my heart and life to Jesus. Nobody beat me. Nobody forced me. It was my decision. As I heard Brother Dominic share the gospel with me, John 10:10, tears began to run down my cheeks. I couldn't walk to the town anymore. The cigarette I was holding that day, that was the last day and the last time I smoked. Nobody forced me. I simply believed and turned my life to Jesus. Jesus took away my sins. A few months later, I went back home to see my mother. The real reason I went was to apologize and beg her forgiveness. I couldn't say it, but she saw it. And when she saw it, she was even worried that I was too gentle. This was a young lad she's known for all her life. 17 years before I left home, I was trouble. And now that I'm no longer trouble, she was confused. She didn't know what to do anymore. And she was beginning to be afraid that I had gone mental. I left her and went to my grandmother and said to my grandmother, I'm back, and not only that, I believe I want to serve the Lord. My grandmother said, that's no news, because they prayed for me. That is what God and only God can do. When you turn your life to him, he gives you a new vision, a new life, a new direction in life, regardless of where you are in the world. I have seen people in Iraq. I've met them in Iran. I've met people all over the world. The story is the same. The righteousness of God given by Jesus to each one of us walks his righteousness in our lives. And we're able to paddle through the difficulties and navigate all these crises in life only by his righteousness. If you have faith in Jesus, that is what will happen. The troubles you think are too big now, the troubles you've been crying about, looking for solutions, their end is here and now and today. God says, write. Write. Our God is a writing God. When you turn your life to Jesus, write it down. Even now, today, take a moment. If you are making a decision now, write it down. Today, I decide. If you are praying in your closet, write your prayer items to the Lord. If you are reading your Bible and the Lord is speaking to you, write it down. If you go to fellowships, write down what you learn. God reads it. You read it and he'll give you the understanding. But God is a speaking God. He's not a silent God. He speaks. He will talk to you through the word, through the Bible. You navigate your ways through life from the scriptures. Read your Bible. Read it daily. The righteous shall live by faith. A life of righteousness cannot be compromised at any time. All the more in these evil days. Brothers and sisters, we're blessed to be where we are. Always remember that. Please don't complain. We're blessed. Nobody wrote an application to be born in Ireland or Nigeria or Iraq or anywhere else. God, in his divine sovereignty and plan, has a purpose for why each one of us has been born and put where we are. If God wanted, we would have been in the zoo somewhere. But he has a plan for us. That's why we are here. Would you take the time tonight to think about that? So that before this conference is over, you're seeking the Lord. Don't worry about the suffering of the sufferers. Don't worry about that. Worry about yourself. Don't worry about me. Worry about yourself. God has a plan for each one of you. You've got to seek it out and ask God, Lord, I'm watching. I'm waiting. Speak to me. Tonight is that night. The Lord will speak to you. You may even be carrying so many problems. But listen, tonight you can lay it down. For the righteous shall live by faith. If you leave this tent and the Lord's righteousness has not been bestowed upon you, you will still be carrying your problems and nobody can help you. No man on earth can help you. Only God can through Christ. The righteous shall live by faith. That means that there are no neutralities, which is my last point. Don't be neutral. Take a position. Because one day, when you read the rest of Habakkuk, you will discover that there are five woes that are coming on those who reject the love of God, those who turn their backs on the offering that God has made in his Son Jesus Christ for your salvation and mine. One day will be a day of judgment. Don't let it be too late. Because right now, what God promises is that for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. What a wonderful God who does not like the death of a sinner. I testify. And I repeat my testimony. Jesus saved me. My mother did all she could to put me in a straight line. In my heart, I was rebellious. When I grew to be a teenager, I bolted away. Nobody could save me. Nobody could help me. My father, a school teacher. And if you're a teacher's son, here you have my commendation. They're wonderful people. They can put you straight. But no matter how my father tried, he just couldn't. Until the day I met with Jesus. I never forget when I came back home and I told my father, been saved. He got up, raised his hands in worship to the Lord. I'll end with a short story. It's an African story. This old lady in the village had gone to fetch firewood from the bush. We still do firewoods. We don't have gas. We don't have those stuff up till now. Not everywhere. And there's this young man in the village who has a truck. On a market day, he will fetch all the wares for the market days and the people and take them as passengers to the markets and then come back. He'd done two trips, and this time it was late in the evening, and he saw this old woman carrying her firewood going back to the village. His truck was empty, so he parked and stopped and called on this old woman and said, "Mama, would you like to let me help you?" And he did. He took the firewood, put it at the back of the truck, and she climbed the back of the truck and sat down. And the journey began. As he was traveling, he looked back in his mirror, and he saw this old woman carrying the firewood at the back of the truck on her head. So he stopped. And he says, "Mama, please put down the firewood. You know, you don't have to carry it." She said, "My son, you've done so well to help me. I don't want you to take extra load. That's why I'm carrying it on my head." Much as we laugh at that story, I don't want you to leave this tent tonight still carrying your burdens, when Jesus can take the burdens away and give you rest. Whatever that burden is, whatever it may be, remember, take a stand. Cry to the Lord. Take a stand. Tonight is the night of your salvation. Would you bow your heads and let us pray? Heavenly Father, we have listened to what you said to Habakkuk. And we thank you, Lord, that you can bring out joy out of the ashes of the terribilities of our lives. Some of us have messed up our lives big time. But God, you do not throw us away. You've chosen that out of this ashes, you'll bring out joy. Whatever the sort of sufferings or situations are, Lord, we are waiting on you now. And we pray that you reach out to our hearts to bring out joy out of ashes of our lives. Friends, as I've prayed, if you know the Lord has spoken to you this night, you write it down. Whatever the burdens may be, maybe you're rededicating your life even. You've gone out and messed it up. You want the Lord to clothe you with his righteousness. Yes, the Lord can do it. He will do it. That's his promise.
Thank you for listening to this talk. If you would like to know more about New Horizon, please visit our website at newhorizon.org.uk.